You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome to Pen Talk with the Cooligans, everybody. Because
hold on a second. Hey, everybody. It's Pen Talk.
You know it. You know that sound.
You know it. You love it. This is what you came here for. I caused quite a stir.
You did, because you know, last week you were talking about pens and luxury pens. I mentioned my luxury pens.
Your dusty-ass Parker pen. And apparently, there's levels to Parker
there's
pens.
There's levels to Parker pens. Yes, I was somewhat aware of this, but I didn't, you know, I didn't have the kind of money to get some of the more luxurious
pens. You don't even look at aspirational material online.
No.
You don't look at wealth porn the way I do.
Not at all. Like, I mean, we're looking at the Parker website. Look at this handsome man with a lovely fountain pen.
First of all, let's be honest. The guy's wearing generic t-shirt, generic socks. You can't even afford a good pen. You can't even afford
everything
a good
is generic,
fit.
But the pen,
yes,
Alexis. Okay,
the pen is what you come for.
And so that was a big thing. So we learned that.
So you mentioned this was your dream pen.
I wouldn't say dream pen, but it was my go-to.
Nah, growing up, you had a poster on your wall of the Parker.
Exactly. I tore down.
This guy's dad was on your wall holding a Parker pen.
I tore down my, you know, picture of, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage to put up just a giant Parker pen.
I need a good pen, brother.
But you, as a joke, as a bit, you were like, yo, here, let me Venmo you some money so you can get yourself
a nice... I
Venmo
you $12, which you said I've never done for a bit, but that was to get yourself
exactly
this expensive.
You're like, buy
here.
Yourself something nice, and you know what I did? I bought myself something
no
nice.
Oh, let's go. Let's
there
go.
It is, a brand new Parker pen. Let's unbox
Yo,
this Parker
let me
pen.
Make sure. Should I put on sunglasses for it? Did you really buy yourself a Parker pen?
I bought myself a Parker pen. Mike, hit the ISO. Get the ISO,
bro,
so people can see it up close. This is
wow.
a Parker pen.
That is a commitment to the bit that I was genuinely
exactly.
Not
hey, listen, this is what I set the $12 for right here, baby.
So, boom, let's unbox it together.
I can't believe I bought you a gift on Mother's Day.
Okay, so look, bro, this is the definition of luxury. It is a stainless steel pen with the gold.
You bought the gold tip.
The gold tip. Okay, I said just the tip, Parker.
Yeah.
It is gold, and boom.
Bro, look at this. It comes with a ribbon, elastics. It's got two elastic bands in here so you don't lose your pen.
The bands to make her write.
Yeah. Are you going to bring the box with you everywhere you go?
Okay, so people know. Most pens come in bags, in plastic bags, or loose pens.
Can I just say something?
Go for
what
it.
What a satisfactory click this thing has.
put it to the mic so people know, for our audio listeners.
Yo, I can't even explain. ASMR. It has like a little spring in it that it high fives you every time you click it. It says, hey, you know.
It's telling you made the right decision.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Parker, I know you got some good pens, but this pen, if I see you pull this out and go to sign something, I'm like, that check's going to bounce. You know what I mean? That's my first thought.
No way. This screams class, bro. All right.
I can't believe you bought a goddamn Parker pen. You know, you could have just sent me my $12 back, but I'm glad you bought the Parker pen.
Nope. We are investing into this is part of the show. Thank you, Parker. Become a sponsor of the show. Why not?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
What are you waiting for, Parker?
Them?
Who's talking about Parker? Hey,
Parker, ain't nobody else talking about your pens, bro.
Okay.
We've
you know
sponsors.
What, Parker? If you're listening or watching, Parker, set us an example of your most expensive pen. Let's compare it.
Exactly.
$12 one.
For research purposes.
Yeah. We'll send it back. That one. We'll send that one back. But we'll keep the most.
You'll get a Parker pen back.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying you won't.
Hey, you're the ones who said it was classy and good enough, you know?
So shout out to Parker. Thank you so much. All right.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to
That's
the Cooligans.
That's ridiculous.
My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Parker Pangareros.
Okay. I'm a Christian Penanco now, bro. All right. So, you know, you come here for the hilarious footy chat and also the deep dives on the best pens in the world, okay?
Pen talk.
All right, so you know what you came here for. You're in the right place. If you like both of those things,
yeah.
You're good to go.
You're like, I love comedy. I love humor. There's just not enough pen talk on the show. We've got that covered.
So
Speaking of pens.
Soccer, yes.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of coverage today. The Premier League has over two match days left, or for some teams.
For City. One for Arsenal and everyone else.
So we'll talk some Premier League in that title rest because it's getting pretty crazy. A lot of storylines there. We'll also talk some Major League Soccer, a bunch of ridiculous games. Rivalry week. Yeah. Some great games. Messi nearly getting his knee exploded. But luckily, he's all right. And
he also had a nice conversation with the camera and the fans.
Messi looked like a streamer right there. But my man is just the new Kaiser now.
Put in the chat how much you hate this new rule, dude.
Bring Ollie Curtis back in here. Yeah. Answer for this. Anyway, so we'll talk that. And we'll also get to TST because I made the announcement last week. I am playing in TST, but now the groups are out. So we're going to do a little background, a little analysis.
Let's take a look at who you're competing with.
Who I'm going to be competing against. And so be on the lookout for that. So let's start with the Premier League because, everything that...
This might be the most relaxing, 2 weeks you've had?
For Everton Football Club, I'm just like, what are these games? End the season. What do we need to do all this
for?
Don't
let anyone get injured. Let's go ahead and end it.
No, it's interesting because the conversations around Everton and just, probably similar to a lot of the teams at the kind of bottom of the table is just like kind of doing a... end of season, not an exit interview. What's the thing? Performance review. Mainly of Sean Dyche. And a lot of people are basically saying, what the table looks like doesn't really reflect how the team actually played and that he did so much with what he had to offer. But now the issues with Everton are not.
No, you're comfortable. Play. You're watching this relax. I'm not.
I'm watching I'm looking at the Financial Times and how 777 Partners is filed for bankruptcy.
Did you see in Italy?
No, I didn't.
They said get 777 out of football.
Yeah, dude.
Is it France?
That was in Belgium, I believe.
Was that Belgium?
I think that was Standard Liège, if I'm not mistaken. We'll confirm. That's not a good sign. Because the current owner, he's like, I'm gonna get out of here. This is too much pressure.
Hey man, I need to get out of here.
Okay. Y'all are yelling at me a little too much.
Yeah, you guys hate me, bro. I gotta go. You're nice and relaxed watching everything games. Meanwhile, I am stressed to the max watching Arsenal.
The title race is...
Sorry, it is Standard Liège, by the way.
Thank you. All right.
We fired Ronnie Dyla.
That's right. Well, right. Yeah, look. All right. We'll get to a bunch of that stuff. We talk pens, not finances. Anyway.
okay. We don't sign the checks. We just talk about the utensil you use to sign the check.
Okay. No one has ever given us a check to sign. Trust me. So... the title race is getting it's not even just about it being uncomfortable. It is that the perfection is the requirement. There's no you can't slip up.
It's ridiculous.
You know the loss to Aston Villa.
You're allowed to lose one game in a calendar year.
That's the thing. Arsenal have been essentially...
have scored the most in the Premier League. Have given up the least amount of goals in the Premier League. Has had the most clean sheets. Goalkeeper of the year nominee.
Yeah.
Manager of the year nominee. The best season in history. In Premier League history.
Not good enough.
Not enough.
Not impressed, okay?
Bro, what the hell?
Talk to me when you're playing better than that, okay?
Bro, I got an idea for Mikel Arteta. Get 114 charges. You know what I mean? I won't hold it against you. Still the second most charges. Maybe then we can compete.
No, this is a... look, we saw what... I'm watching games, for Manchester City matches, And I'm like, yeah, Fulham, come on. You can do this.
Come on.
You can do it.
I'm texting people in the 35th minute.
Believe in yourself, Fulham.
Hey, they're playing a pretty good game. And then it ends 4-0 and you're just 5-0. You're like, what? I mean, why?
Yeah, yeah. It's just, there's something that happens with City that once you give up that first goal, there's something. It's so deflating. There's something like, that's it. It might as well be 4 or 5 goals when you right. want to give up that first one because we're not touching the ball. And it's really, Fulham did have a couple chances. It's just that, if you don't have a absolutely clinical finisher, and even and I'd say like even the mistake, the game against Wolves where City gave up a goal, right? Ederson taps the ball, but even those moments of like you still have you're not really expecting the ball is going to land at your feet. You have to like hit it properly, yeah. And that's the thing is like a lot of teams just don't have those.
They just assume the City's never making a mistake.
Exactly. And then they usually don't, but they occasionally do. But when you're in that position of like, oh, crap, they actually did make a mistake, you absolutely have to capitalize.
You have to Jose Luis.
Yeah, and in Fulham, there was even when City did give up the ball, there was a little bit of like, oh, we got the ball. We got the ball. Yeah. We got the ball. All right, everybody, we got the ball.
Yeah.
Let's try to score. And it's like,
go do something. We got the ball.
And it's like the chemistry just sort of dies when opponents have the ball against City. And yes, they are good defenders, but still, you're a Premier League player. You should be able to connect a couple passes in your half. But something, I don't know, it's a spell or something happens. I don't get it.
It's so frustrating. And, you know, I got to root for Tottenham now, bro.
Dude, this has been my favorite moment right now from Arsenal fans is I've been seeing a lot of
Kai Havertz said he's the number one Spurs fan.
Which is great.
He said that,
bro. That's gonna be a crazy meme after all of this ends. It's definitely coming back to bite him at some point.
I'm hoping we win the league and it can't be used against them until like another 4 years.
I love this from my friend Amelia Lopez, Azteca Amelia on TikTok. Go follow. But I don't know if you saw this, Alexis.
I did not.
This just encapsulates the issues that they're having, that fans are having.
You know, I think Tottenham. I think Tottenham are a fantastic club, and I truly. Truly hope that they win their next game.
So it's really just people are just they're grossed out.
It's a lot of dry heaving. The fact that I have to hope for them to do well is horrific. However, there is a epidemic of Spurs fans hoping the opposite,
right?
Wishing their team bad.
Because that's right. Another one is the loudest Spurs fan I know. And that's
this is just the loudest human. Just the fact that he's a Spurs fan makes him the loudest person.
Expressions.
If you don't know expressions oozing, you're missing out. Great content. Yeah.
But we have the okay. I just showed the caption's not cut off. But here goes. This is his caption says, "Praying Arsenal don't win the league. Spurs, you better roll over like the national lottery tomorrow." And when you look at the photo, it's him. What is he holding? Is it boots or something?
It looks like Yeezy.
His shoes or his Yeezy.
He looks like Yeezy phones.
He is praying at the edge of a cliff, hoping and praying that his team lose. But this is quite look. A lot of the comments are like, "This is why you're not a serious club." That fans hoping you lose.
And those are all Arsenal fans that have started, you know, United fan accounts just to be able to post that. So they don't look like Arsenal fans. So. Like Garnacho Ford, 23, right there. Imagine wanting your team to lose.
You're not going to bully expressions into changing his mindset.
Certainly if your name is Garnacho Ford. Which is 23, which I'm assuming is Garnacho and Rashford.
Rashford, yeah. I mean, it sounds like the hottest celebrity couple right now.
Yeah. Ooh, Garnacho.
I love it. But the fact that this is a look, and for
the coach even had to bring it up.
Exactly, because this is a true look. It's not even about it being a mindset. Look, ideally, Spurs fans do not want to lose any game ever, but the nature of being a Spurs fan is to get into battles, banter with Arsenal fans. That comes with the territory.
Right. And it's who has the leg up in banter.
Yes.
Over the last few years, Tottenham have had some pretty successful seasons while Arsenal have sort of slipped out of the Champions League picture. Mm-hmm. That's obviously gone after the season. You know, if you look in the past, there's really not much for Spurs to be excited about. But they certainly have had, they got a new stadium. Things are looking good for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
If they slip out of Europe and Arsenal win the league, that's a bad, bad day for Spurs fans.
Without a doubt. They need to win that game.
And here's the thing about Andrew Postecoglou. He's Australian, bro. He didn't grow up with this rivalry. He's not a local boy. This team ain't made up of North Londoner. Londoners.
It really looks bad on his record to lose at all, right? So he's not interested in losing by any means. So this is a, he had to respond to it. And when you see the... when you see his response, I mean, and not even just in the words themselves, but his tone is like kind of disgusted.
Oh, look, if you go by social media, there's probably 99% of Spurs supporters who don't, if that's your world, but please don't tell me that's your world, Charlie.
No.
There's such a bigger world out there, mate. Oh, my God, please. We'll need to have a session, counselling session, if that's your world. I like I said, I don't understand it. I understand rivalry. I was part of one of the biggest ones in the last couple of years in the world with Celtic and Rangers, and I understand rivalry, but I will never understand if somebody wants their own team to lose. That's not what sport's about. That's not what I love about the game.
Boom.
Bro. I think he's going to go for it. And I bet you some of these players have something in their contract for, like, you know, a bonus if they make Champions League or European competition.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I think they're going
to
go for it.
There's no way. I mean, look, to take any manager seriously, if he went up there and was just like, oh, yeah, I get what the fans are kind of, you know, what result they want. They don't want Arsenal to win. If he just, like, leaned into that discourse at all, be like, bro, I can't take you seriously.
Yeah, but what if he had an English accent?
Maybe that's why there's so many foreign managers in the Premier League, to not get mired in all this, like,
the local rivalry.
Stuff. It's like, I don't know. Like, you guys deal with that, but I'm going to focus on football.
Yeah, remember, like, early in the season, they asked Andrew Postecoglou, like, oh, Tottenham don't win. He's like, I don't think they hired me to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know? Like, I'm like, what do you want to say? Whoa, no Tottenham manager's ever spoken like that. You gotta believe in the curse.
Okay. So that's
do you think happens?
Look, what I think happens is Manchester City win this game. Man City have a problem. They don't win. They don't play well at Spurs Stadium.
No,
they don't.
That does seem like a while ago. I think the last one they won.
But the record speaks for itself. Yeah. They always have a lot of trouble here. I can't imagine they're just gonna, oh, curse is broken and we're good to go, and they're just gonna embarrass Tottenham. They, for whatever reason, I can't really explain why, they never have a good game. I think at the very least, I think a strong possibility is a draw. I think they can get a draw here.
That's enough for Arsenal, I think, to win the league.
It very much is. Yeah. Then it'll all be on goal differential if both teams win at the end of.
Wait, will it? Aren't they 2 points ahead?
No. If City and Tottenham tie, then Arsenal and City are tied on points, and it comes down to
goal differential. Yeah, they're 1 point back. Yeah, yeah. They're 85 to 86. So, yeah.
So, no, they would drop 2 points. So, they'd go to 86 points. Oh, yeah.
No, they go to 86 and they'd be tied. Yeah. Okay. I mean, simple.
Sorry, I'm just trying to.
Quick math.
I'm trying to lessen the stress in my head. Because the goal differential is only at 3 goals right now.
I felt the hamstring inside Alexis' brain running.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a shock because Arsenal were up like 10 or 12 goals.
I told you they win 4-0, 6-0. Like, it's nothing. This is ridiculous. You have to be up 15 points and like 30 goals with one match they left to even dream of winning.
So, but for Tottenham.
And by the way, this is bad for the Premier League if Manchester City wins 4 in a row.
Yeah.
You're Ligue 1. You're Bundesliga, bro.
So
everything you said you hate, all the Farmers League talk, you're the Farmers League. You don't have five teams in the Champions League. Yeah. Now you've got a team winning the league four times in a row and no signs of stopping anytime short. And you've got a team with a couple of charges and it looks like they're just going to wipe them away. You're now the Farmers League, Premier League. Okay. You should want Arsenal to win. Come on, Tottenham.
I'll be honest. These are some well-paid farmers, dog. They are making bang.
I would love to, you know.
These farmers got a
reap what I sow. You feel
they
me?
Got a subsidy, dog.
Damn.
They are making money. This is, but look, when you look at the table, there's obviously two matches left for Tottenham and Villa. And they're fighting for that fourth spot. Villa loses if Villa slips up and Tottenham win both, they have an opportunity. So this is why I would argue the opportunity for a Champions League spot is still there for Tottenham. And you have to imagine the entire team is really going to play for that. I understand it would hurt the fan base to see Arsenal win a trophy, but it would feel a little bit better. It would sting a little bit less if you're playing in Champions League the next season. That has to be some kind of compromise and understanding.
Right. And financially, it'd be better for you.
Of course. Of course. So Tottenham and City play tomorrow, and the
Aston Villa Liverpool play right now. So Villa loses to Liverpool,
which they 100% good.
They 100% good, especially the way Aston Villa looked at Olympiacos, which was
so close. That's why a lot of people in the Premier League want Villa to lose this game.
The scenario we need is Villa to lose so that Tottenham will feel like, oh, a win or even a draw puts us in place to potentially win and leapfrog them into fourth place. So we need that.
Okay, we're all villains today.
Yeah, right? Let's go. No, we need them to lose. We're all Kopshite. What do you guys call them?
Scousers.
I know Scousers, but what are they? Arsenal? I mean, Everton fans?
Gobshite.
No, it's the Kopbites.
It's a whole thing. Anyway, so the only other game that I thought was at least kind of worth talking about was the Arsenal-Man United game. And we just have to address Casemiro, because Casemiro seems to be week after week is in the news always for the wrong reasons, and he made a terrible mistake and not even probably a mistake. My man is just tired. I don't even understand.
He was thinking about something else. He was out there and he was like, I think I want a sandwich for it.
Oh, wait, I kept everybody on side?
Oh, damn. Bro, he was just jogging, and then when he came back, he didn't even check for the runner. He didn't try to defend.
Yeah.
I just realized I got to stay in line with these guys.
Give a shout out. Remember RNA Deck? Remember
when we
were on Twitch days? He had highlighted. He took freeze frames. RNA_deck on TikTok. Go follow him. He's a great dude. He's a big Manchester United fan. And he probably hates Casemiro more than anyone I know. But he took the freeze frames from when Onana cleared the ball, mm-hmm. and it got to, I think, Trossard or mm-hmm. somebody who was on the wing, and then passed it to Havertz.
Havertz. Havertz was the one who was offside, but only because Casemiro was in no man's land.
Exactly, but about 6 seconds from Onana clearing the ball to when the pass was made to Havertz, right? And it was in those 6 seconds. When Onana clears the ball, Amrabat and Casemiro are in the box. Either giving an option for Onana in case he wants to pass it. But once the ball is cleared and an Arsenal player receives it,
Amrabat goes. And Casemiro's just like...
And Casemiro is just outside the box.
Yeah.
While Amrabat is in line with the rest of the defenders.
Yeah. And Havertz can see that, so he starts sidling. He's like, I don't think my guy's running back. So
he might have forgotten the rules of this game, I think.
I don't think he knows he's here right now. So he stood as far as he could go, and even the announcer goes, oh, and he's also, nope, he's been kept onside by Casemiro.
Yeah, that tells me that there's Casemiro is a central defensive midfielder. He's not like, if it was a striker in that position, I'd be like, all right, he's a striker. He doesn't really know, but he should get it right. But
if you're a central defensive midfield, you're probably not offside, and you can kind of jog back into your general area.
Okay, meaning like you wouldn't even be in that position.
He wouldn't be that far back. Yeah, there'd be people behind him. So he's like, I'm not making anyone onside here. So I could just kind of stroll back, and I think he got lost in both worlds. Not an excuse. When someone's asking you to play center back, you kind of have to switch on.
Yeah.
If you agree to do it, exactly. I assume you can't say no to center back. Not really my thing, you know what I mean?
Only Jadon Sancho did that. Look where he is. Okay? Yeah,
he was right. But I get that you're playing out of position, but you're right. It's not like they're asking the goalkeeper to play center back. It's like, bro, you kind of should know what you're doing, or at least be prepared.
Like, is he not fit? I mean, he's not that old or anything. I don't understand. I mean, I look at it when I think of in the ultimate team rating and the card, he's slow in the game. He's like one of the slowest. Yeah. But he's like a great passer, and his shot is
also
really good.
Also finds his way into the right position.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a threat to score, but in that scenario, it just tells me that there's a – to me, it's just coaching. It's just like – he is not properly coached, and he is not properly either like derided in film, being like, Casemiro, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, for him to not make those mistakes over and over.
Yeah, maybe, but he's also one of the most decorated players in Europe. You know,
but that doesn't.
You would expect he doesn't need to be told in film. look at all these things you're doing here. You did not do it, Real Madrid.
The other thing that's wild is that he makes something like £380,000 a week.
Oh yeah, no, he's on.
And
that's the thing. I was gonna say he doesn't care. Like I don't. Maybe that's what it is. Tell Casemiro what to do. He just doesn't care.
he has a 3-year contract with a 4th-year option or something like that. It's like crazy to be like, yeah, I'm gonna pay you because you're one of the most decorated players, and this is what you're giving me.
They need to sell him. I don't know what value they'll get for him. I don't know how,
like, yeah, because it's like he gets paid way too much.
Yeah, he could just camp out and be like, no, I want to keep making my money, and you got to pay him.
Exactly.
It's frustrating. The most frustrating part, if you're a United fan, besides the fact that your stadium is falling apart.
The water.
It seems flooding. Like a sign. Like, if this was a film, we'd be like, you're doing too much to explain the downfall of this team.
They're already dead. You know, like, stop.
So you ain't got to do all this extra, you know? Scott McTominay, when he plays for the Scotland national team, he doesn't always, but sometimes he's filled in as a center back.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude is right there. And I have a feeling why Erik ten Hag didn't put him in at center back. It's not because he thought Casemiro could do a better job. I think this is purely my theory. I think it's because he's like, Scott McTominay has scored before.
Right.
And I might need him to score in order to win this game. So I can't put him in at center back because then he can't make those late runs into the box. And he can't go in that left half space because he's asked to be a center back. So I got to put Casemiro, who's slow and out of position and seemingly already on vacation.
My man is ready for the season to be over.
He showed up with, like, the nose paint they had, like, in the old movies.
My man got his hair braided in Jamaica.
He got Tommy Bahama shirt on.
He's good to go.
What's up, fellas? Two more before vacation, baby.
Manchester United have lost, I believe, 14 matches, something like that. 14 matches.
At home.
Which is the most they've ever lost in the Premier League era, which is...
How about this? 9 losses at home is the worst since the 1973-1974 season.
Mm.
You want to take a guess what happened to them at the end of that season that year?
How would I know? They got relegated?
Yes!
Oh, did they?
They got relegated. This is the worst home record they've had since the year they got relegated. It's also on pace to be the worst goal differential they've had since that same season. This is not a good...
It's just not a good team, yeah.
It's not good.
It's wild to... injuries and...
The fact that they're in eighth is a miracle.
they've been really, really bad, so...
I know we're going to move, but Chelsea's on 57 points. Newcastle's on 57 points. There is a chance... Mike, put your hand down. Stop celebrating.
Yeah.
There is a chance that Chelsea make it into a European competition after the season they've had. And here's my theory. Ever since... They tried to fight for that penalty, and Pochettino came out and said, that's embarrassing. We know you'll never see that happen again. I feel like that's the moment he went in and really, really read them the riot, and I think they galvanized as a team. They've been playing well since that moment.
That's true. And another weird point is, like, the criticism that Nicholas Jackson has.
Is it read them the riot act?
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed the word act. Read them the riot, not a phrase.
Nicholas Jackson, who is been constantly criticized and just everybody's just basically saying like he's trash and he shouldn't be at Chelsea, is like, is he the leading goal scorer at Chelsea?
Cole Palmer.
Nico Jackson has what, like 14 goals?
But when Nico Jackson scores, they win.
Say again?
19 goal contributions, 14 goals, 5 assists. He's unreal.
That's a great season.
Isn't this his first year there?
It's also his first full year as a pro. He got called up from the Villarreal youth team in the middle of last season. So this is his first year as a pro in the Premier League. And he's got
Has he missed a lot of chances? Of course. But he's still having a fabulous season, which is so...
Yeah, at the end of the year, we're going to look back and go, oh, that's a good year. Right? Regardless of all the stinky talk.
So, look, title race, is the end of the season this weekend?
This weekend coming up.
This weekend coming up, right?
Yeah, because City Tottenham is Tuesdays, tomorrow.
Okay. Yep. So, a lot at stake to today's match when
we're
recording.
Come on, you Spurs.
Let's go, Spurs. Huge fan since day one. Hold on a second.
I've never said anything bad about them. Do not put that on me, by the way. I swear to Christ, I will burn that if you go put it anywhere near me. I've been a huge fan.
Nike had sent us this shirt.
It's not even a kid. It's a polo.
It's a polo. It's a sensible polo. Yeah, if you're a Spurs fan.
If you like losing rounds of golf, this is the shirt to wear.
So best of luck against City, Tottenham, because a lot of Arsenal fans could really use the help.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So it's the end of the season, the Premier League, as we mentioned, but it's just getting started still in MLS, or I guess one third of the way, whatever we're at this point. But there are some crazy fights going on over the weekend, guys. NYC, FC, and Toronto.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mike, 2 months ago, Christian punched me in the hallway.
Oh my God, Alexis, you're bringing this up now? Why didn't you talk about it?
I didn't think to mention it.
You think it was worth talking about?
Yeah.
We could have reported it to Meadowlark.
Wait till my homie/captain shows up and tries to headbutt you. I don't know what the story there is.
So, yes, there was a very intense game between NYCFC and Toronto FC at BMO Field.
How many games did NYCFC win on the road last year? 1, 2?
Not many.
I think we've already beaten that this year.
So it was a huge win, and especially after the disappointing loss at home to Colorado. So NYCFC win 3-2 against Toronto. Great. I mean, and a great, a lot of changes to the NYCFC lineup. Malachi Jones.
Looking good.
Looking great for the team. Scoring.
Honest Wolf coming good.
Honest Wolf. I'm like, I was a little bit critical of him.
Bro, I was howling. Were you howling? I was watching this.
I was worried, bro. Yo. I saw a full moon, and I'm like, why isn't he showing up?
Yeah, this is when he shows up.
But Honest Wolf was the player of the game, and he was fantastic. He had 2 assists. But just a great game where there was a lot of...
This showed you how deep NYCFC is. Sorry, New York City FC is. Mm-hmm. But you have to find a way to put them together, and a lot of questions have been asked of Nick Cushing. How's he going to get this team fired up? And he just went out there swinging. He doesn't want to go out without swinging.
So it was a great game. 2 goals. Toronto got the 2 goals, but NYCFC led this game pretty much the whole way.
I remember Toronto were on a good run. They hadn't lost in 5.
Yeah. They looked...
New York City showed up. And I like this little bit of a rivalry there's a go, and there's a little chippiness to this competition.
Yeah, we saw, we'll pick up the story at the end of the game where there was a huge scuffle. Sean Johnson.
At first, it just looked like the two teams arguing with each other. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it got turned.
Exactly. And Sean Johnson, who will be an NYCFC legend for the rest of his life. Right. You're sort of shocked of like, how could he get this upset? And he went after I've never had to say his name out
loud. Strainya Tanasevich.
I think that's how it is. Apologies, my man ST. Okay.
Yeah.
But he
played 1 minute.
He played 1 minute, an important minute, and then
seemed like he did a lot in that minute from the reaction.
Right, that the you know, that had to ring the bell after a minute. But Sean Johnson went after him. Look, I don't know where sort of to begin with as far as like what happened on Saturday.
The video we saw was from a fan perspective. That's the major video going around, and it seemed like both teams, no one, staff, everyone was out there kind of still drawing it up a little bit. Semi walking back, and then all of a sudden it looks like out of nowhere Sean Johnson starts running at ST.
Strahinja, yeah.
Strahinja.
And some of the rumors are that there was a headbutt. I've heard that Strahinja headbutted Sean Johnson. I've heard that Sean Johnson headbutted
from the video,
him.
It looks like Strahinja tries to headbutt or at least throws his head forward towards.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's the initial reason why he's sort of upset. I don't know.
No one knows until more is said. Some people speculated it might have been that he said something disrespectful towards Sean Johnson.
Right. But we've seen those scuffles before. That's not really anything that shocking. What was shocking was after the game, the post-match press conference.
Because we thought we saw everything we needed to see. One weird part of that video is all of a sudden, John Herdman, instead of trying to get his captain off of anyone, he kind of runs directly at Nick Cushing and starts drawing up Nick Cushing. So we're like, oh, maybe that was just coaches being like, get your team back in the locker
room. Right, right. And Cushing is just walking with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
And Herdman bumps into him. He just like gives him a little shoulder. And Cushing is just, he doesn't even take his hands out of his pockets. He's like, bro, you serious?
Yeah, what was this all about?
What's all this? Bro, you mad? Yeah. You mad, man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you big man. Yo, someone get this dude off me with the flesh-colored AirPod, you know?
So that's how that...
That's all we saw.
Going into the tunnel,
And then John Herdman was like, let's take it up another level in the post-game press conference.
And that's where things got a little bit crazy because in the post-match press conference, Jonathan Osorio is... They ask him basically like about the animosity in the game and blah, blah, blah. And he mentions that one of... our players, why we were upset was because in the last game when we played them in March.
In March,
that was quite a while ago.
Uh-huh.
He said that players cornered a 19-year-old on the team. And we know who that is because it was I forgot his name now, but the kid who scored in that game, the one in March, the Toronto player. And because he's the only 19-year-old that was on the team. And he said that he was cornered. And that they attacked, or I don't know if Osorio specifically used the word punched, but then Herdman clarified and said that one of the coaches punched.
I think he said Nick Cushing.
He did say Cushing, but he said coach, and then they were asking, who do you mean? They asked him to clarify, and he said Nick Cushing punched
a 19-year-old
punched this player.
If that's the case, Nick Cushing would not be the coach of this team.
He would be gone immediately.
You can't swing on a 19-year-old.
But 80-year-old, 19-year-old, both are both are really bad, actually.
Yeah, yeah, 80
is probably
you
way worse.
You could have gone middle there. You went geriatric and young. Yeah.
But you can't. So
you can't swing at a 19-year-old. You can't swing at a 39-year-old. I think that's what you meant.
So the idea.
Nick Cushing was like, I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. You know, NYCFC and Nick Cushing have denied this vehemently. And look, yes, I got into it with Toronto FC fans. Somebody accused me. I said, I was at this game in March. I literally did not. I don't have any memory of even a scuffle. I don't remember anything happening.
You tweet out from your perspective. I don't remember there being a fight.
I'm there watching the game. I didn't see anybody.
Well, you're being called a deep state liar.
Somebody's saying I'm misleading my audience. Yeah. I am lying, and I'm just like essentially trying to mislead because I'm
also
somebody. And they called me. I'm a big NYCFC account. I'm like, you know what? That one. That's, okay. You're right
about
that
one.
That
one. Thank you for the compliment. Also, can I? Hot take real quick. Have you listened to our show? We've been misleading our audience from the beginning. Okay.
That's been our prerogative from day one.
How dare you assume we're doing anything other than misleading our audience?
So Cushing denies this, and now there is a...
The first 5 minutes of the show were about pens.
Okay.
Two episodes in a row. What are you talking about? I'm not not penalties. Clicky clacky pens.
Okay. All right. You heard it here first, folks.
It's such a satisfying click. I want to take back everything I said about Parkers.
So this is the main thing, is that, and this is like a thing, you know, that I'm sort of not used to. NYCFC has been in the league for this is what, the 10th year now, ninth year? And some people, I'm used to the, you play in a baseball stadium, nobody cares about it. It's just like, it's embarrassing. The league shouldn't have ever, we heard it all. But then to be like, NYCFC are like the these sort of aggressors, you know what I mean? Like, or antagonists and stuff like that, which NYCFC has historically has not really been a team that's like, let's scrap.
No, they've not been like the, what's that, what's it called, the Wild Gang?
Yeah,
like
that's not really the
NYCFC.
That's not the way we play. No. It's not really anything. So
if there's two things that everyone knows about New York City Football Club is they play in the stadium, and I think a lot of people talk about how big the travel support is.
Right, right.
And that's usually like a calling card.
And it's not to say that they aren't players that are going to defend themselves or a little bit tough or whatever
Of course. Look, someone gets stuck
in. We don't have the, every player's not mic'd up. I don't know what they're saying, but they seem to, you know, NYCFC players tend to do well, tend to fight for the ball and stuff
but
like that.
But we also don't have coaches swinging on 19-year-olds.
Right, we've also met and worked with so many of the players. There's literally some of the most, they're literally so nice that I'm like, no, there's no way you could find any success. You're too nice.
Yeah.
And then they win anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, and we've also met Nick Cushing personally. I'm not here to defend something that I have no idea if it happened or didn't happen. But
if it happened, he should be out of the league.
If it happened,
I don't believe it happened because I feel like we would have heard about it.
Exactly. If it happened 2 months ago, this is the one thing. If it happened 2 months ago and Herdman is bringing it up now, that is such a gross an irresponsible way to lead a club. That one of your players got punched, and we're hearing about it now.
You're like, don't worry about it. I'll get him back at the end of the next match.
don't worry, kid. Yeah. Walk it off.
Look, they have to come. I don't want to go all the way over there. They're going to have to come here anyway in like 2 months. So
look, and it allegedly happened at halftime of the first game. So that couldn't have been mentioned in the post game of that game in March.
That's ridiculous.
So it's really about, what were you gonna say, Mike?
No, I was just gonna say I don't think Toronto would have come back out for the second half if that had happened.
100%. 100%. Yeah, and so not only does it look, and they reported Hudson River Blue reported that the footage from Yankee Stadium was given to MLS. It was seen, and there was no. There was no footage of Nick Cushing punching anybody. There was, a lot of jabber and a lot of people talking and stuff like that.
I'm sure people got in each other's faces. Exactly, or whatever. But yeah.
The specific allegation about him punching a player was not there. And again, not only do I not think this happened because of, like, we know Nick Cushing personally, he just does not seem like a guy who would punch anyone.
Right.
But on top of that.
But again, I feel like you're misleading your audience.
So that's my guess. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not wrong. But that is, it's just such a, to me, it's just so irresponsible and so ridiculous. And I'm not necessarily saying that Herdman is lying, but if he is.
If he knew a player, if he knew, 19 years old, got punched in the face and didn't do anything about it.
That's the issue.
You're being negligent towards your own players anyway.
Yeah.
So all of this looks bad.
Yeah. There's no way where Herdman looks good in this.
He's going to have to come out and apologize for saying that Nick Cushing punched somebody.
But he said, and Osorio said the same thing, that they were told that this happened. They didn't witness it. They didn't see it.
Oh, bro. So what are we even listening to these guys?
That's the thing.
That's
so, but it doesn't mean. But if the kid got punched and he told somebody and nothing was done, that's a bigger issue. And again, I'm not saying that Cushing did do something.
And if the kid said he punched me when he meant like he got in my face or whatever, I can see that, but that needs to be corrected as well.
Exactly.
Not to say the kid should face any punishment, but like you got to talk to the kid and be like, yo, you can't run around saying coach will punch you when they're not.
It's such a wild allegation. Yeah. And it would have been such a wild allegation if he mentioned it in March.
Yeah.
And if he happened.
No, but Mike's right. I mean, imagine at halftime you're going, all right, boys, what are we going to do in the second half? And when kids are like, now get punched by the other coach. I'm like, we're going to have to run that back.
Okay, wait, yeah. What?
We're going to need you to elaborate a little bit.
So, look, I hope it didn't happen. But but if it did, it is just such a horrible way to handle this. So that's really the main point kind of we want to get across. It's just, yes, we're NYCFC fans, but that doesn't mean anybody should protect somebody that actually did something awful, but this sounds like one, it didn't happen, and then also if it did, it's just such a gross handling of a player that it did report something and nothing was done about it. So
that's spoken like a true big New York City.
Okay. Okay. Hope you're welcome. You have been misled. Yeah. All right. all right. A couple other matches. I want to talk about Atlanta United and DC. Atlanta United have been awful,
atrocious
this season, and they're.
Or you got Giakoumakis. You've got Thiago Almada.
Yeah.
You can't put together a better run than this.
But they played DC United, and they lost.
3-2.
They played Benteke United, and they got
facts.
They got cooked because Benteke got a hat trick. But this is and it's something that you don't really get to see. We've seen perfect hat tricks, right? Left foot, right foot header.
Yeah.
Benteke's like, no. Throw the lobs out. It's lob city.
Yo, son.
For Benteke.
This is the Lewinsky hat trick.
Yo. Wow. Yo.
Damn, that's before Mike's time, dog.
But no, he got the reference. I got it. That was a good one.
Is there a more famous?
That's the funny.
BJ? I can't think of it.
When you get a header, when you get a hat trick of headers, the comment section is gets a little crazy.
But it's also DC.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I get it. So there's a lot of layers there.
There's layers to it, baby.
Okay. Okay. My man is Duncan in the Oval Office.
Yeah, facts. So. I hope they gave him a cigar afterwards. He's like, this one's stinky for some reason.
I did not have sexual relations with that.
So
great impression from Mike.
All right.
Mike's got a good person. Oh, my God. Is Bill Clinton on this show?
So the comment section was crazy because the comment section on MLS and like Bleacher Report were all like Benteke head game crazy.
Yeah.
My man. Okay.
Shouts to the fans that get in the comment section. The ridiculous things.
Just Benteke with the great dome all day. You know what I mean? It never ends. You know, feel free to improvise on your own.
Yeah,
have fun
get
with
in
it.
There, swim around a little bit in that comment section. You feel me?
But the concern for Atlanta United why am I forgetting their coach? Gonzalo Pineda.
Gonzalo Pineda.
How much longer can they do? I know Atlanta. You know they drafted Atlanta Falcons drafted a quarterback, so both organizations don't know what they're doing. I think.
Yeah.
But how long can they keep this?
Everything
man?
In the Mercedes is bad except the concessions and the fans. The fans are great. Look, I feel like
Arthur Blank is going to be like, let's hire two head coaches. Yeah.
You know what? Whichever quarterback is at the starter, coaches.
You get to coach
Atlanta United. We need to make this contract worthwhile. I think if you're – the question perpetually when it comes to MLS is how soon is too soon to worry? And unfortunately – now is right around the time where teams start to pull away.
Right.
You know?
I mean, the one concern, look, I've been seeing Atlanta United Twitter, and it's like, Guzan, a lot of people sort of, they're like, man,
is he old?
He's getting, I don't know, are we keeping this man?
Yeah.
Look
on FAMA, Atlanta United were 65% of the win,
likelihood to win. Yeah, I am. And they definitely did not do that.
Nah.
But Benteke, I saw Tom Boger had put up a tweet about about Benteke and his he's won the most aerial duels in the league. And basically the likelihood of when you send the ball in the air for him, he is it's something 70 or 80% of the time he's gonna win it.
Right.
Which is also says a lot about NYCFC just beat DC United pretty handily just a couple weeks ago. So it said says a lot. It says a lot about the fact that they were able to handle him, but Atlanta United very much could not because he was just always there in the right position. It's just kind of wild to have three sort of clear headers in one game. And
pull up Atlanta United's matches coming up.
Atlanta United? Okay.
Because let's figure out when the hammer will fall for Gonzalo Pineda. They got Cincinnati next. They could very well lose that because that's on the road.
Yeah.
They stay on the road to Nashville SC. Open Cup, they play
Charleston Battery.
And then they go home to play LAFC. So that's very well could be four losses there. Let's get rid of that Open Cup. That could be three losses on the road to Cincy and Nashville. Nashville aren't playing great, but still. And then you've got LAFC. Nashville's also a derby, right? Or like a rival.
Yeah, it is a rival, yeah.
And then you go to Miami.
I don't think Pineda so can we make, could, make
we,
it to that.
We might be talking about one draw out of the next four matches outside of Open Cup, just in MLS play. That's got it's got to be curtains for him, right?
Yeah, yeah. Jim Curtains.
Damn. Okay.
So, shocking result for them. I feel for all my Atlanta United friends.
Do you think Gonzalo Pineda makes it to the Charlotte match?
No, I can't see it. I think that it's gonna. They've won. I think one in the last four or something like that. One in the last five, if I'm not mistaken. And it's been brutal to watch, and just terrible, especially at home.
Yeah, but that one was the Open Cup match.
What do you mean? Oh yeah, that was the Open Cup.
And hit the back button.
Yeah. What's their? They drew.
Oh, they beat Chicago.
The last time they won was March 31st.
Okay. Not a good look.
When apparently Cushion was punching folks in March.
Damn, they were both punching above their weight.
So. The other Inter Miami did play against Montreal, and this was another fun one.
Montreal came out to play.
They came out to play. They were leading 2-0, but also the fans. It was also when Inter Miami arrived in Montreal, the fanfare was just wild outside the hotel. Mm-hmm. Just like you know, they haven't gotten to see him play there yet, so that was the first time. But they did come out to play. I thought, especially after those first two goals, I'm like, okay. This is finally somebody's giving Inter Miami some trouble. But
a real game.
Once the that foul that I forgot who committed it, but the
foul on Messi.
No, foul on Messi. So
Messi stayed down for more than 15 seconds, which means he had to spend 2 minutes on the
sideline. Which is valid because also it should have it probably could have been a yellow card. He it was like a knee to knee hit, but it kind of almost like hyperextended Messi's knee.
Yeah, he was fine.
He took the brunt of it, and yeah, so he was all on the ground longer than 15 seconds. The new rule in Major League Soccer is if you're, we had Ollie Curtis here to tell us all about it. If you're there for more than 15 seconds, you have to get off the pitch for 2 minutes to prevent faking injuries and time wasting. And Messi, he had. We're looking at the image now, but in this clip, he's looking at the camera.
He kind of called for the camera to come to him.
Yeah.
I would suggest maybe, you know, they tested this rule in MLS Next Pro,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they just don't have superstars in MLS Next Pro. So you
not
didn't
maybe
get to see,
they do not. They
so you didn't get to see that there's a potential that they would turn around and the single most valuable soccer human object or whatever you want to call it, the most valuable asset in soccer in America, turned to the camera and said, "Hey, this rule, this isn't good."
Yeah, he said, "This is not." Basically, he was like, "This is not a good rule for we're not going in the right direction."
Yeah.
It immediately brings up a lot of should we change the rule? Messi's not happy about that. but it is also to see the most valuable asset in world football. Not be able to play when he wants to play. It's kind of like, it's a little bit uncomfortable to be like, to stand your ground and say like, no, this is the rule.
Right.
I know who you are.
Right.
But we can't just bend the rules for anybody.
Right.
Okay.
But you might be able to for Messi.
Yeah. You're making a strong case.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the rule applies to everyone but Messi. I don't know. We can look into it.
I think all MLS rules should be like, as long as Messi's okay with this.
Just a little caveat, a little footnote.
Yeah, just to let people know.
So he is, but this is quite a moment because he gets injured. He has to be out for two minutes.
There's a free kick.
There's another foul in the next place. Mm-hmm. Luis Suarez gets fouled. And then this new Inter Miami guy, Matias Rojas.
Came from Racing, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Wait, it came from heaven, bro. For Tata Martino. Because
Nico was like, you know, this guy couldn't even get playing time in Racing. I don't know what they're doing in Racing. Because this kid is good.
This dude has gotten, like, just all. And, like, he's played 2-3 games and has, like, 2-3, like, could be potential goals of the year.
Golazos.
I'm like, yo, this guy couldn't get minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. Does it mean that the Argentinian league is so high? Does it mean that the MLS is so low? It's hard to say. Like,
but this had nothing to do with defending. This is straight up a free kick.
Just a free
kick. And the goalkeeper was in the right spot, headed in the right direction for it.
It's wild to think that if Messi was on the pitch, we wouldn't have even seen that. He might have even not won a goal.
Messi, this 2-minute rule allowed Inter Miami to see, oh, we've got...
Oh, we got another free kick taker.
We got another free kick taker in case Messi's injured or out. Yeah,
yeah, and Rojas got that goal. He got the assist on the game-winning goal to Kremaski. And it is just like... I look, a lot of people are asking this. They're like, how is Inter Miami able to get players? Like they've had so many injuries. They've lost... key players.
They keep unearthing these gems.
Yeah, and we saw what happened in CONCACAF Champions Cup where they got absolutely humiliated by Monterrey. And people were like, and Tata didn't make any substitutions, which is probably why Jordi Alba got hurt, which was another ridiculous decision. But he didn't make any substitutions because he was like, MLS, they're literally sealing my wallet shut. Yeah. I can't buy players. I can't do anything.
They got it up on a string and it's too high. I can't reach it.
I don't know what happens. I'm not saying that they're bending the rules or anything like that, but there has to be Inter Miami, I don't know, Jorge Mas or Beckham or whatever, or even Messi himself. He's like,
he starts at the top.
They're calling players, they're calling teams, they're like, yo, transfer this player to me. For $12, okay? Yeah. Look, I swear, I'll get you back. It's IOU.
I think what they're saying is, look, legally, I can only pay you $100,000, but I could also give you 1,000 signed Messi Argentina shirts. Now, what you do with that is up to you.
My business.
I would suggest starting an eBay account.
But no, on a serious note, I'm not trying to make any allegations, but there has to be something said, to because Matias Rojas was a free agent. But
I think it's the players want to play with Messi.
They want to play with Messi. And they'll be like, yeah, I'll play for $49.95. Yeah, okay? Yeah, I'm good with that.
I mean, look, if the prospect is you stay in Argentina where you're from, no real potential of getting, you know, starting minutes, which means you're not going to get viewed by Europe and you're not going to go, or you play alongside Messi and you're going to get viewed by European scouts, you're going to want to go there even if it's not to be buddy-buddy with Messi. But you know he's like, hey, we got another one for the asado. This guy's Argentinian. You know you're going to hang out with Messi.
These guys are making like the same money as like a homegrown player, bro.
Bro, Messi don't want to hear what Julian Gressel got to say at the barbecue. He want to talk to you. You want to drink mate.
He's like, me and my center back are making $80,000 this year. Yeah. Wow, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, everything's fine. But also, you're getting paid on time. It's America.
So just a wild turn of events. And then, look, and then Inter Miami end up winning this game. But it's just literally, we're looking at this photo. But this moment and Messi making this face.
Bro, when his down face, his two, face is so perfect.
2-0. He's like,
one of the most memeable moments.
He's like, I don't know. I don't know about this. And then, boom. Free kick goal.
Who's that?
Tim Robinson. Tim Robinson.
You sure about that?
You sure about that?
That's kind of what he looks like. He's
Messi
doing right there.
He's like, ¿tú estás seguro de eso?
¿Estás seguro?
¿Tú estás seguro?
Yo no sé. ¿Estás seguro?
Messi's in over there. But something, as soon as that, I think once that foul happened, Messi was like, nah, bro, this is, I'm turning it on. And and they absolutely just lit it up for the rest of the game.
I think the rule should stay, but they should just amend it to like, everyone has to be. If you stay on the ground for more than 50 seconds, you have to pitch. But if Messi's ever off the pitch, we wait.
We wait
2 minutes till they restart the game.
Everybody stops.
Yeah.
Fans, take out candles and start.
Moments of silence.
Moment of silence, just to make sure that he heals properly for the rest of this game.
Go to a rain delay video.
People start spraying a spray can bottle. But no, huge win. But Inter Miami looked like easily they're going to win the Supporters Shield and have to be favorite for MLS Cup. Even when they're losing.
Copa America. There's some things that are gonna get in the way.
Anything can happen, but yeah, dominant performance by them.
So we're talking about it now. The aforementioned TST tournament, Christian will be taking part. It's down in North Carolina this June. Very exciting. Christian, tell us all about it. We got the groups, I guess, is the big news. We know who you're going to be playing against now.
Yes. So I'll be playing in Summer of Soccer. That is the team. I'll get through the team in just a little bit. But when we look at the...
Manhattan Kickers is like semi-pro.
Yes, we're playing...
Hashtag United is in League 2.
Group I is Hashtag United, Manhattan Kickers, Raleigh Rebels, and Summer of Soccer. So these are all especially hashtag United, who I believe got out of the group stage and made it into, they made it pretty far in the playoffs.
Spencer Owen is their owner.
Is their owner. Yeah, so we know hashtag United. Manhattan Kickers is just a legendary organization.
Lucas club. Shanks plays for them. Shouts to the homie Brian, who plays for them as well.
And Raleigh Rebels, who I'm least familiar with, but obviously based out of North Carolina, and you expect, you know. So it's so again, I said
has this. Hashtag United announced their squad, because they've got some not just ballers, but they also do like the
yes. We can look at their roster there. I mean, Spencer Owen is the Spencer Owen is playing.
Oh, Percy, that's the I believe that's PK Humble from Filthy Fellas.
Yes. Okay, so it looks like not their full roster is there. But no, it is a proper club. I mean, there is, so I'm a little bit nervous, but we're working on it. And when we look at our roster, Summer of Soccer, shout out to Andrea Yosh, who's one of the owners of Minnesota Aurora.
Yep, absolutely.
Is an absolute homie. And, so Brian Jordan, who played with Edson Buttle.
Beautiful.
For the LA Galaxy. Yeah, Jamie Watson.
Who also played in MLS back in the day.
Exactly. Played for RSL, played for FC Dallas. He's also one of the announcers on MLS Season Pass. And Kenny Cooper, the striker for FC
Manchester
Dallas.
Manchester United Academy. Let's go.
So it's basically a whole bunch of, either indoor players or...
Indoor and futsal, smart players to bring to this thing.
Yes, and so it's a bunch of ex-pros, retired folks.
And a comedian.
And comedian, Christian Polanco.
Can I just say the funniest part about going through this screen, if you're not watching on YouTube, check it on YouTube. It's every other picture is someone playing, like, on an MLS field, or, like, you know, doing the shoulder, like, lineup celebration. And there's just a picture of Christian, like...
Yeah,
hey, I mean, but headshot.
I'm mad cute though. Jokes. I'm looking cute though.
Jawline on point.
okay. So this is I've been training, because obviously I want to
listed as a defender.
I'm listed as a defender. They asked me what position I would want to play, and I said either.
You said bench.
I mean, that's my favorite cushion. Yeah, preferably. Yeah. They asked where I said, like, I would say like a central defensive midfielder role. I said Casemiro is my favorite player, and I really want to be just like him. Or
you're out there in an eye mask.
So I've been watching a lot of the footage from, like, especially some of the earlier games in TST, and it's like there's some teams that are on point, take it super seriously, and there's some teams that are just like, hey, we just have a little kickabout. And maybe if we get far, maybe.
You're hoping to catch a few of them?
I'm hoping to catch a couple of those.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. So, you hope PK Humble, you know, really hits up the bars?
So I just really hope that my opponents don't really want $1 million that badly. That's really what I'm hoping. I'm like, they don't need it, okay? I'm hoping I'm playing against billionaires that don't really need the money.
Have you ever looked at Manhattan Kickers or Hashtag United highlights?
Yes, I have. Yes, I've watched Hashtag United games.
Okay.
This is, yeah.
How you feel?
It's a proper club. It's a proper club. but when have Hashtag United seen the Christian Polanco highlights?
Oh, you mean Polanquinho?
Okay, have they? Because so I was on IG Live the other day. Some people, there were a couple folks.
And this is your first mistake. You showed them how good you are.
I see. I really, I put my card on my hand
you
on the table.
You revealed your superpowers.
And let's just take a quick look right now of me working on some shooting drills.
Oh. Bing, bang, bang. That ball has not touched the ground, folks. I don't know what you're looking at.
Bro. You saw it. You hear what I'm saying. You saw it.
Yeah, you saw it. This is just every day. This just, you just put up a camera so other people can see it.
I was just like, let's do a little content.
Sweet
little
baby
fun.
Mateo bored of this already. He's like, you know how many times I've seen dad do the crossbar and then juggle it afterwards challenge?
He's like, dad, stop juggling and hug me. Yeah. I said, no,
no.
Son. I will not.
I'm trying to win $1 million.
Okay.
So I can hand you and your mom $100,000 and then disappear. I know you don't win the whole million.
So, but yeah, I was, so for people listening, that's me. Go to follow @Chris Polanco on Twitter or @Christian_Polanco on
Get
Instagram.
Get to see this journey.
And I'm going to be training. I'm going to be posting clips. I'm going to be working with a couple former players, a coach, anybody. Really, I'm going to be working with any. If you are a U7 coach that have a couple of drills that you can send over.
If you're a bored street cone, get out there and stand there.
Because we need you right now. Well, I'm playing against hashtag United. I need all the help I can get. But if you're just listening, I'm doing a shooting drill where I'm trying to work on a snapshot, like a faster shot from, like, if I have a defender in front of me and just tapping the ball slightly over and then taking a quick shot. So you just create a little bit of space and shoot. Shooting is the worst thing I'm at and the most important thing in soccer.
I see why you picked defender.
But I'm a good passer, all right? I play soccer the way Penny Hardaway played basketball.
Okay, your favorite basketball
player? My favorite basketball player. And maybe that's not the right approach.
Well, I eat food like Shaq, who's my favorite basketball player.
Okay, so yeah, you need a lot of calories, and you kind of overdo it.
A little overdo it for way too long
in your career. So I hit the crossbar, and the ball bounced back to me, and I was able to continue trap it.
Trap it and keep juggling.
And that's the first time I ever did that, and the fact that I got that on Instagram Live is...
The chat went crazy.
The chat was like, bro... This is AI. I know that you're into
tech. Is this a Nike Joga Bonito commercial?
This is the Ronaldinho ad. Okay. I know, you know, they used a lot of CGI to get that done. Nah, bro.
No, no filter, no
Ronaldinho
CGI.
Ronaldinho needs it.
Yeah.
I do not.
Polanquinho? No.
Okay. So, yo, everybody at TST, you better know. Okay? Yep. You see it.
Mm-hmm.
You see the skill. You see, I don't even know what else to say.
Bro, Giroud's on his way to MLS. I hope he was watching that. He's thinking, am I as good as this Polanco?
Okay. This is the kind of inspiration I need, you know?
Or Cesc Fabregas is saying, you know, we're going to need to bring in players for Serie A. Now that Como's up there.
Okay, I'm glad. Yo, this is how it happens, you know? You get one viral video.
Yeah, this is how it happened in goal one.
Okay. Call me Santi, bro.
Santi, bro.
Because this is how... So this is a miracle. I cannot believe this even happened. This is like legit. I couldn't. When the ball is bouncing back to me in the air, I was like, is this for real? Like, even the fact that I even hit the crossbar on the live, I was
don't
like.
Don't say that because people think you're good at this.
But I would imagine by me speaking so highly about this one sort of minor thing for.
Not that minor. That's pretty good.
All right. This is. I couldn't believe it. So.
My money's on you to lose, but still. I mean, my money's on you.
One of the proudest moments of my life. It's like this, and then my son.
Bro, is DraftKings going to put TST in there, bro?
No, they should. High key. DraftKings, if you're listening to us, put TST on there so we can bet against Christian.
Hell yeah, dog. Imagine I'm playing against Chris Cody. All right. 1v1. Let's go. But yeah, I was going to say, yeah, this is one of my proudest moments is this, and then my son being born. It's just like right there.
Close second, Mateo.
You really, if this wouldn't happen.
If you would have come out and then he could trap you and juggle you as you
were born.
Maybe you'd hit the top of the list.
You know, and then I just do a little two touch back to the midwife. Go.
Give him pass back.
Go check him. Yeah. And then toss him back to me. Yeah. I got it.
Aren't you supposed to get the snot out the nose? Do that and then pass it back.
So again, TST is happening June 5th through 10th. Our games are June 5th and 6th. June 5th, we have two games. June 6th, we have one. I'm stoked, bro. Kenny Cooper was in the live when that happened.
Manchester United product.
Okay.
Prolific scorer in MLS.
Exactly.
And he was like, damn,
a unit as well. My man's a unit. I said on the live, I said, my goal for TST is I would love to get an assist. That is the bucket list in a competitive tournament. If I can get an assist, that would be one of the dreams of my life.
And it was won by a bunch of kids from Connecticut. Yeah. So
there's not no kids, reason why. They're like indoor, like great players.
No, but I'm saying it's not like they're pro players you've heard of. Former MLS players, a lot of those.
And Kenny Cooper in the chat said, I'll get you one.
Bro. Sealed. Done.
That's
delivered.
It. That's it. It's happening. Tune in on ESPN Plus.
Take it to the bank.
Okay. One of these three games, I'm going to go for an assist. Let's see if it happens.
Real quick, Christian, if you win the $1 million, bro, what are you doing with the prize money? That's the real question.
I mean, it's not. Look, we've had these conversations about like if we
got like 80K this or something,
exorbitant wealth. I don't know. I there's 20 players on the team. It's evenly split. It's not an insane amount of money.
No, it's but right. You'll probably end up with like 30.
It's life changing for depending on what your circumstances mm-hmm. might be. I buy a house. That's it. Buy a house.
Right. You can't buy a house with 30K.
I mean, but I also have 800K just sitting in the bank.
Oh, okay, word. Damn. Yo, I need to talk about my side of this Cooligans contract.
Okay. Metalock's paying me a little bit different than you. Is I like that right?
Idea that you have $800,000 in your bank. And you're like, if only I had that other 30, then I could really afford the home.
No, but you could put a down payment.
Not 30.
No, 80.
You're not going to get 80. If there's 20...
Okay. Yeah.
20, just 20 people, a million divided by 20, plus they're going to need all their money back.
I'm just, I mean, whatever. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, 20,000 to 30,000. That's not bad, though.
Can buy one Parker pen.
Bro. All right.
Shouts to Parker Pens, bro. Sponsor the show already.
Thank you so much. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday with a new episode as well. I hope you had a good Mother's Day. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Follow at Chris Polanco. Follow at Not Alexis. Watch Morning Footy. Follow Mike. Do everything you got to do.
Sure. Follow me if you want. I'm not very good on Twitter. I'm not going to lie, but follow me anyway.
Yeah, follow him anyway.
All right. So thank you. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.